Like it or not, these are extensions of ourselves. Like it or not, this is you, this is me. And not that you have to have just one of these, but any means of communication, any means of technology, any way you communicate to people, whether it is over a landline phone, a cell phone, or email, or whatever the case may be, this is an extension of you and me right here. You know, there's some new laws that have just been passed regarding these things. You cannot text and talk while you're driving. It's a new law. Because once these became extensions of you and me, that would naturally mean certain laws had to come into being to protect us and to clarify or confuse the issue. We've been talking over these last 2 or 3 weeks, have one more to go after today, about technology, how we use it. Is it worth it? Of course it is. It's the good side of it and the bad side of it, the strong side of it and the weak side of it. And though cell phones are not pictured on the pages of the Bible, the general principles that govern any type of communication we certainly find here in God's Word. That's why I want to draw you this morning to a character, a man of God, a leader in the Old Testament. His name is familiar to many of us. His name is Moses. We're going to find his story in the book of Exodus. But we're going to seek to come up with some general principles regarding Moses' life with the fact that these things are an extension of who I am and who you are. You remember that we've been talking about honoring God with technology and trying to remember some general mottos or general principles and guidelines. And they start with D, as in our connected life in 3D. We're going to do the same with Moses' discussion here with God. We're going to look at how we disconnect, that was the first one, to connect, how we then deepen internal values, those things that are most important to us, how we can take those down deeper into our lives, and then we're going to learn that we also have to continually develop boundaries. If this is going to be an extension of who I am, if this is the way I'm going to come across to people, whether I'm talking on it, texting, or however I'm using it, then I've got to develop some boundaries, some ideas, some places where I will not go, where I will not cross, as well as just understanding how I'm going to obey God and honor Him with that extension of who I am. So let's look at Moses' life. You remember his story found in the book of Exodus. I want to focus on a conversation that Moses had with God in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. This is that scenario, that event that happened in a most familiar place. It's called that burning bush. It's when God revealed Himself to Moses. And when Moses had an opportunity to listen and to use his life, however it was going to be used by God in order to choose whether or not he was going to obey. Disconnect in order to connect. That was that first of those D phrases. Moses, indeed, we find in Scripture, had to disconnect before he could really ever connect back into what God wanted him to do. And if you will remember, we're just going to go back and summarize a couple of things in his story. Moses was 40 years of age when he disconnected. And by that I mean, he was 40 years of age. He had been born with all the privileges of being part of Pharaoh's family. All Moses had to do was just play the part, buy in to the fact that he was one of the privileged few, even though he was a Hebrew by birth. He was a Jew. But you remember, he understood his background, and he began to empathize and sympathize with his people. And at 40 years of age, as someone who had ultimate freedom, he committed a crime. He, in haste and in anger and in vengeance, he killed an Egyptian taskmaster who was beating up on some of his own who were slaves. And because of that beating, because of that crime, Moses was banished. He had to flee to spare his own life. And he went to a place called Midian. When he was 40 years of age, he disconnected. And it wasn't until Moses was 80 years of age that he finally came back and faced down Pharaoh. And we had the 10 plagues and we had the let my people go scenario going over and over again. So when we talk about Moses disconnecting, he did. It wasn't until he was 40. And it really, he didn't get connected back into his real purpose in life until he was 80. It took a long, long time. But when he disconnected, fled to Midian for those 40 years, was it wasted time? Absolutely not. Because it was during those 40 years that Moses began to deepen, that's the second D, to deepen the internal values. Those things he had to clarify, that he knew certain truths to be correct, that he had to align his life with God's will. This is where the idea of jumping to these right here, because these aren't found here, but these extensions of ourself really communicate who we are. How did Moses communicate? How did he deepen these internal values? He did so at that burning bush. What I want to do is just simply walk through the conversation that Moses had with God. And I think in those conversations, in Moses asking questions, God answering him, we find that Moses began to truly deepen in those internal and eternal values. He asked a question. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Moses asked, "Who am I?" And remember, this is all in response to God giving Moses an opportunity to connect back to his people. God says, "Moses, you've been in Midian for 40 years. You've disconnected so that you could learn. Now it's time for you to go back, and I want you to do my will. I want you to set my people free." Moses had questions about that. And he said, "If I'm to go, who am I to go?" Exodus 3:11 says it like this. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses asked the question, "Who am I to go?" Now we have the internal value. It's in Exodus 3:12. God said, "Certainly I will be with you. This shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." What is the internal value that Moses had to deepen in his life? I simply put it this way, that God said, "I am with you. I am here. I am by your side. I will not leave you alone. I will not desert you." So in response to Moses asking the question, "Who am I to go?" God said, "I will be with you. And when you set the people free, when Moses, Pharaoh lets you go, you will return back in the area where this mountain is. And you will find this mountain. It's called Sinai. And there you will worship me." So Moses begins to understand that he has the opportunity to deepen the values he knows to be within that are most important, as long as he doesn't let this get in the way. Moses then asks another question. If it's not "Who am I, God?" it's "Who are you, God?" How does it say it? Exodus 3:13. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What's his name?' What shall I say to them?" All right, here's another logical question. I mean, you're trying to decide what it is that God wants you to do. You're trying to determine, are you going to answer his call upon your life? And you naturally ask questions. Who am I to do this, Lord? And then Moses rightfully asked and turned the question back on God and said, well, who are you? If I go and risk my life and head back to Egypt where I'm a wanted man, after all these years, 40 of them, if I'm 80 years old and I go back and tell them that the God, your God, sent me, and they're going to laugh, what am I going to say? Who is sending me? And then here comes the internal value. It's in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, this is one of the strangest parts of Scripture you'll ever run across. God's name. It's the first person verb of being, translated, I am. You know that from grammar in school. You know that when you're talking about those in any language, when you learn it, you've got those verbals of the verbs of being. I am, you are, so on. This is what God says his name is. In Hebrew, it's pronounced Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. In Hebrew, when you're writing it, you don't have vowels. There's a little pointing system in the Hebrew language that tells you whether to make an A, E, I, O, U, or sometimes Y vowel sound. It's only consonants. And so you will see in some designations, or if you're reading a commentary, you will see Y, H, W, H. This is the representation, the four consonants that you tie together with the vowels that make up God's name. The first person verb of being. What does it mean? I am. If you go back through the conversation that Moses has with God, he says it over and over again. I am. I will be with you. When Jesus was walking on the earth, he had not an argument on his part, but he was attacked by the religious leaders. And he talked about before Abraham was born, he said, I am. And the scripture says that the religious leaders were infuriated and they sought to stone him immediately right there. Why? Because Jesus had spoken the name of God and applied it to himself. So Moses, when he's trying to determine what his next steps in life are going to be, when he's trying to get the communication straight, he asks the logical questions. Who am I to go? God answers him, I'll be with you. Who are you? Who am I going to say sent me? And God divulged to Moses his personal name that wraps up past, present, and future. I am. I am the one who created. I am the one who loves you. I am the one who will see you through. I am that I am. Moses is getting a good lesson in deepening those internal values, as long as he doesn't let this get in the way. He asks another question. He says, what if they won't listen? What if the people, when I go, what if they turn a deaf ear? Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And then God answers him and gives him that internal value once again. The Lord said to him, what's in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and he caught it and it became a staff in his hand again. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Now how do we put that into an internal value that we need to deepen? I say it this way, that God says, I've given you all the tools that you need. Interesting. That staff becomes a sign and a symbol throughout the remaining chapters of this book of Exodus. The staff was a representation and a symbol of God's power and God's presence, not just with Moses, but with the people. God will give you the tools that you need as long as we don't let these get in the way, that we see them for what they are. An extension of ourselves, yes, a tool that God has given to us that we can use, not just this, but over the centuries, any means of communication, any means of projecting what we want to people and getting a response, that's what these ultimately are, aren't they? Tools that can be misused or can be used for God's glory. Moses then makes a statement. He says, really, I'm not qualified. It's verse 10 of chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, most scholars, when you look at this and they translate it, they will just simply say, Moses had a speech impediment. It's probably right. That's the Hebrew way of saying it. When you translate it over into English, it comes out, though it doesn't say he was a stutterer, but he had some type of speech weakness. And he simply was saying, God, I'm not qualified. I can't get a complete sentence out. I will lose people before they're even ready to do anything because I stumble over my words and I'm not sure that I can communicate what you want me to communicate. So just acknowledge the fact, Lord, that I'm not the one. I'm not qualified. The internal value, God gives it to him in his answer. Verses 11 and 12, the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seen or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you are to say. The internal value, if God chooses you, he will prepare you. If God chooses you, if he seeks you out, if he seeks me out, then we can be assured that God has not made an improper choice, but that he will prepare us, just like he will give us the tools that we need if we don't let these things get in the way. Now, those deepening of internal values are straightforward. But you remember there's another D. There's not only disconnect in order to connect, which Moses did. It took him 40 years. But he did. But it's not just deepening those internal values, though that's very important. And hopefully throughout the week, when you've used this or when you've visited with your family about these or other items, other means of communication, you have been understanding and knowing the importance of communication, deepening those internal values. But you remember there's a final D, and that is that we have to develop some boundary lines. There's got to be some red flags. There's got to be some walls that we don't cross or try to climb over. There's got to be a mark in the sand that we will not cross over. And Moses understood one of those boundaries. He said, Lord, get someone else. Chapter 4, verse 13. But Moses said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. What's God's answer? He sets an external boundary. And it's simply this. The anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Okay, now let's take a time out here for a moment. What's going on? Once again, the Hebrew translation smooths it out. It's as though Moses just finally says, Lord, just, you know, do with me what you will. Get someone else to do this job. That isn't what Moses said. Moses said, No. I mean, follow the progression. God gives him 40 years in Egypt. Moses has to flee when he's 40, go to Midian. He spends 40 years disconnecting in order that he'll be prepared for a task that God has for him. And when God brings him before a burning bush, when God tells him to kick off his sandals, when God reveals his will to Moses, Moses responds, God's okay with that. Who am I, Lord, for you to send me? God answers him, who are you, Lord? God tells him his personal name. What if they won't listen? I'll give you the tools that you need. What if they won't respond? What if they simply say no? God says, I will prepare you if you don't feel qualified for this. Everything's fine. God can handle that. But let's be honest. God's patience is up to a point. And that point is the point of disobedience. So what happened here at this burning bush is that God was patient with Moses. He answered all of his questions. He reasoned with him about his insecurities that we all will have. But when it comes right down to it and Moses says, get someone else, Moses has transgressed an external boundary that he knew well. And see, it's almost as though if he had had one of these, if this had been the means of communication, it wasn't back then, but if it had been, part of Moses' problem would have been he was so distracted because of this, he didn't really understand what God wanted from him. And nor do many of us. It's a very dangerous thing, my friends, to come before God, to understand his will in your life, and then to answer him with no. Now, thankfully, all it took for Moses to spiritually drop this, turn it off, put it on vibrate, or however you want to put it, the only reason Moses was able to consider the future and to do what God wanted him to do is because he didn't let anything else get in the way of his communication with God. But what it took was God's anger burning against him. Have you ever been there? Have you ever known what the right thing was to do, and yet it's as though you went through the same conversation that Moses went through and then just finally said, I can't talk out of this. Can't talk God out of this, so I'm just going to tell him no. Dangerous position to put yourself in. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is to realize that even these are really an extension of ourselves, to understand what they are, to understand their limitations, to use them wisely, to put them down when the real communication needs to take place. And once we understand the place of technology in our lives and when to use it to the nth degree and when to back away from it, when not to let it cloud our judgment or to paint a picture of our lives that is unreal, that's unfair, then and only then will we be able to hear the voice of God at a burning bush or wherever we may be. We're going to take an offering, our normal offering here in just a few minutes. But when you leave the room, you're going to give an offering to the ushers for disaster relief. Remember I told you, if you make a check, just make it to the church, put disaster relief. If you want to go online and give, we've got a little message and a link that you can go to. There are all kinds of ways to give in a time like this. What we do today, and every penny that we give today and that anyone gives to this effort on behalf of our church, is going to go straight to disaster relief among Texas Baptists, because we have people deployed there right now. We want to use every penny toward what the needs are at the very moment right now. There are stories that have come out of this week. Stories of sadness and tragedy, of course, but hopeful stories. Chris Beatty, family in our church. Chris serves on staff at a church in the Houston area now. He was an intern for us several years ago. Many of you may know his folks. But Chris was making a hospital visit a week ago Friday in downtown Houston, visiting a church member, when landfall and the rain and everything converged upon the Houston area. It was so bad that he could not leave the hospital for 5 days. He was trapped in the hospital where he had gone to visit one of the members of his church. I said, did they give him a hospital room, you know, stay in? They provided rooms. Well, what Chris did is he made himself useful for those 5 days. He helped with transporting patients. He found a guitar and took it to the children's wing and entertain them. If you know Chris, this is perfect for Chris. He found himself in a situation where he had a choice to make, and he made a choice to say yes, to serve, to render aid for 5 days. Thinking what would be a routine hospital visit, in and out perhaps, back to the routine of life, all of a sudden, for a week, to be in a situation where he could have chosen to do other things or to do nothing. But he chose to obey. See, wherever you are, whatever your life situation is, there are choices that we make. And it's my prayer that even though this is an extension of us, that it can be one that is used wisely, that communicates well who we are and who we serve. That we would never, ever let anything like this, or never, ever think that because of the circumstances of life that we don't like, that are not what we prayed for, that are not what we expected, not what we deserve, that we would let those things hinder us from being the hands and feet and the feet of Jesus. Disconnect in order to connect. Is that where you are right now? Deepening those internal values, values maybe that you have known but have forgotten or put aside. Go ahead and have the conversation with God. He's open to that. And develop the external boundaries to never come to a point in our lives where we say, Lord, get someone else. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, to serve you, to honor you, to call upon your name. That's what we do today. We pause and we pray not only for the remaining moments of this service today where we ask ourselves to make choices, but we do lift up and we pray for many, many in our state who are suffering, who have a long road to go. Father, in the days to come, may we be obedient to go when we're asked to go, to give when we're asked to give, to serve. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we offer our prayers today. And all God's people said, amen. We wind up this hour the way we always do, with a time of commitment, a time of invitation. It could well be that in this very room, someone is yet to cross that line of faith and say yes to the Lord Jesus and his claim upon your life. It's a step of faith. It's a prayer that one prays. It's a choice. It's not something you and I deserve. It's not something we can earn, but it's a free gift that we must receive. So if that's what's on your heart and mind today, there'll be ministers and deacons standing here to pray with you, encourage you, We can't make that choice for you, but we certainly can guide you along the way. So step out and come if that's what God is leading you to do. If you're ready to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you know Him, just hadn't told the world, never followed Him in believer's baptism. Let's visit about those things and make those choices of obedience with a clear mind. Maybe it's a church to call your own that you're searching for. And maybe God has shown you that this is where you need to plug in, where you need to join. How do you join a church like ours? You come forward. And then maybe you're here today and know you're not 80 years old. You hadn't spent 40 years disconnecting in some spiritual wilderness. But you have a hard time reflecting what this is and who you are. So whatever it is that keeps you from listening, put it aside. Whatever it is that God wants you to do to help disconnect, deepen, and develop those things in your life that will honor God, make those choices, make them now. That's our invitation. We stand together, we wait for you here. As God leads, you respond.